Morning, brothers and sisters. Greetings to you all in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Martha, Martha, are you worried and troubled about many things that we studied from Luke 10 chapter? Lord willing, definitely we will see some of the key points, how as Christian believers, how we can have faith in God, and by looking on to Jesus, who is our author and finisher of our faith, and run this race. Before going to our meditation Sunday school, we'll have a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving this blessed worship day, Father, to come to you, Lord, to remember your, Lord, all the benefits that you did in our life, Father. Lord, we are in your presence means all because of your grace and mercy towards our lives, Father. Thank you, Lord, for making us to be in your presence, Lord. Speak to our hearts this morning, Father. Help us to treasure all these hidden truths, insights, Lord, and live a life that is glorifying you in faith, Father. Lord, help us to understand all these things, Father. Give us the ears, give us the eyes to see the truths, Father. Ask all these things in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not part of the series called Study in the Faith, Study of Faith. It just, we are taking the detour, but we are connecting to the same subject line, that is faith. Faith. The Greek word for the faith, right, phitis, it's nothing but trust and belief in who means to in our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. As we run this race, as we walk, while we are here for a moment on this earth, because we are pilgrims, we are just for temporary purpose here, God has some plan and purpose in every one of our lives. So while we are here, how we have to walk this, or how we have to live this life, Christian life, or is it by seeing something or by having faith in him? But Bible very clearly says, it's very, very important. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I did not see Jesus Christ. 2,000 years back, he walked. I did not see him dying on the Calvary, on the cross, on the Mount Calvary. But still, right, I believe in my heart that God has sent his beloved son and he made him to die for my sins. That is through revelation. God gives that revelation, whoever believe in him. If you believe in heart, that's it, you are saved. So here, how to have that faith? We are busy. No, we are busy bodies. Some people they call, we are busy without business. But in that busy life, how we have to be focused, how we have to be committed, how we have to be focusing our life on the Jesus and run this race. That we'll take one by one, we'll meditate. Before going to the meditation part, from John 20th chapter 24, one of the disciples, Thomas, now Thomas called the twin, one of the 12 was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here. I'm referring all from NKJV. Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach hand here, put into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. This is from our Lord Jesus Christ directly speaking with Thomas and saying, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We did not see, but all our eternal plans and the spiritual inheritance that God has promised, we did not visualize, but still, right, we believe in it. This particular meditation, it is going to help us out how to see heavenly things, how to walk that, how to run our race, or how to live the Christian life by looking on to Jesus, though we are very, very busy. Thomas, he's having a lot of doubts, all WH questions, what, where, why, all these questions, right? So probably that may be the reason why God sent him to India, because we ask a lot of questions, Indians. After seeing all the evidences, right, we see all the historical evidences, we see all the archaeological evidences, then only still, right, we doubt, because we need all the proofs. Without proofs, right, we will not believe. To a certain extent, it is good only, but Christianity is not like that. Christianity is like completely believing in Christ, what he has done 2,000 years back, the great sacrifice, believing in your heart, not in mind. There is a difference. Having faith in mind and faith in heart, definitely that will touch base. Before going to that, word of God, Bible says in Hebrews 4:14, it's a living, it's a powerful, which has the power to pierce our soul, it has the power to divide a discerner of the thoughts, also it has the power to find out our intents of the heart, how we are thinking, what is our self-motives, are we selfish, or are we genuinely doing? All these things, right? You are reading this word of God clearly. This is a light to our path. All the inner things, all the minor things, clearly it shows you. That's why it's a very powerful and it's a living God, living word. Before going to that word of God, by seeing all these faith-related verses, our eyes deceives us. We think whatever we see, right, that is correct. But our eyes deceive us. How we can say that means thousands of years, still 16th century, they thought sun is moving. Sun is moving around the earth. Till Galileo, he found that telescope and then identified, discovered, right? They were not thinking, they are thinking that sun is, it is revolving around the earth. That is not true. So whatever we are seeing, that is not correct. One good example. One father, I already given this example, but just for our understanding sake, I want to illustrate one more time. Father, he is having two sons, younger and elder. Father, he told his younger son, son will not move, but we will be moving. He just kept and he treasured in his heart. Whereas the elder brother, he saw all those things. And because he knows early morning, rise, sun rises in the east and then it sets in the west. He sees all the movements of the sun and he thinks sun is revolving. But when he approached his younger brother and told, hey, whatever dad said, it's wrong. Then he said, no, I'm going to believe my dad. Whatever he said is true. Though he's young in age, but he believed it. Yes, that is very true. Whatever his father told, that is very true. And earth, right, it's a reverse. However, whatever our heavenly dad, our heavenly father says, that is correct. Whatever we are seeing, that may not be true. That may not be correct. But once our father says, our dad says, that's it. That's 100% correct. Whatever Bible says, word of God, that is 100% correct. That's why whatever we are seeing right through our eyes, that deceives us sometimes. Not sometimes, most of the time. And ears, whatever we hear, that may not be accurate or that may not be correct. Example, audible frequencies are there. Our range, audible range is 20 hertz to 20K hertz. Beyond that, we cannot hear. If you see night times, especially in India, night times, dogs, they bark. Because the frequency they hear, right, that is beyond 20K. They can hear from 40 to more than that 40K. Even the bats, and whatever we cannot hear, bats and dogs, they can hear because their audible frequencies, very minute things also, right, they can hear. So whatever we are hearing, that it may not be correct. So our ears also, it deceives us. And then our senses, you know, under our feet, earth is rotating almost 1,000 miles per hour. If you take that one into 20,000 miles per hour, earth is rotating on its own, but we never sense it. What happened to our physical senses? whatever we are seeing, whatever we are hearing, all our senses, right, deceives us. That's why where we have to believe and where we can take that reliability means only in the word of God. Only one reliable thing in this world is word of God. Never and never be wrong that it. Once it is mentioned, that is 100%. Whoever comes and arguing also, you can give that the example. Take any other religious books, but if you come here, right, all will go very light, and this God's the weightage. That's why I want to emphasize and highlight word of God that gives the faith. Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we hear, or what I do, right, I'm honestly saying, just 30 minutes, morning I listen to the word of God while I'm driving to office or doing something, right, and coming back, just 30 minutes, that really multiplies your faith, I'm saying it. Or if you're spending your personal time on, by reading the word of God, that really changes your attitude, the way how you are thinking and all. It's a daily basis. When you do that, everything will get changed. And then coming back to our point, the revelation, unless God gives that revelation, right, we cannot believe that. That faith that it comes unless God reveals that. Good example, Acts 13:27, Paul is writing about that. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them, condemning him. Jesus, Son of God, is a God. He was there 2,000 years back along with them, but they could not sense him. He is God. He is the Son of God. They doubted him. You know what they call him? He's the Prince of Devils, they call him. He's the Son of God. But still, right, God has taken into him. And not only that, all the prophets, whatever the prophecies, they could not realize, they could not believe that he is the Son of God. Not only that, while walking on the road to Emmaus, Jesus met those two people, right? Cleophas and I don't know other person's name. Bible did not mention that. When he started expounding from Moses to all the old prophets, telling how it is revealing and how it is manifesting about Jesus Christ, right? Their hearts start burning. Even they were not knowing, because it was not revealed to them. Unless he spoke and he referred himself, starting from Genesis to Malachi, that is nothing but in Genesis we see how he is the seed of the woman, how we see in the Exodus, how he is the Passover lamb, and then Numbers, he is the branch serpent on the cross, still Malachi, son of righteousness. Each chapter, each book, right, it talks about Jesus Christ. He is not 2,000 years back. He was there before that itself. He is God, but they could not realize 2,000 years back. All those people, Pharisees, you know, Pharisees, they are very clever. They know in and out of the Old Testament. But still, right, they could not. God did not give them the revelation. So that's why they could not believe in their part. And one more shocking. Before going to Matthew 16, yeah, even devils, right, they tremble at his name. They know how powerful he is, but they believe in their mind, not in their heart. That is the difference between Christians and then the devils. Okay, also they're very knowledgeable. They know very well about all those things. And the second point here, Matthew 16:15. Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." It's a revelation. Unless Father reveals the truth to Peter, right, he never come to know that. That's why God gives that revelation through that, right, faith it arises. And then 1 Corinthians 2:4, "My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power." Here, Paul, right, he never used it. He's a highly educated scholar, very bright scholar who trained under Gamaliel. But still, right, he's not using his intellectual mind. Nowhere he can do, because he's very well versed in the Old Testament, very orthodox Pharisee Jew. But still, right, he never used that. Whatever the gospel he is giving, he's saying that it is the demonstration of the Spirit and power. So he is directly telling, he never used here, that your faith should not be in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Faith in the mind and faith in the heart. James 2:9, as I mentioned, even demons there clearly says in James 2:19, they tremble at God's name. But still, right, though no way. Even the Lucifer, the fallen angel, it is very wise. It is very beautiful. We think that devil means something very ugly, but it's very beautiful as per Bible. Ezekiel, if you read, very beautiful, highly knowledgeable, full of wisdom, but still it knows. But where it knows? In the mind, not in the heart. Once I remember, still few years back, Jarjan uncle was telling, the largest distance in the world is between mind and heart. Just maybe one big scale, but not believe, not in, not here believing, not in the intellectual level. But if you believe and trust in God, that is called faith here. That's why clearly Bible says in the Old Testament, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. The own understanding means we have our calculations, we have our own thinking, we have our lot of things, right? Logical reasoning, everything. But that is based upon the intellectual mind, not based upon the heart. We'll refer a few great examples from the Bible, how they believed and how they relied completely on the. It's all very well, when you verse examples from Bible, David Goliath, everyone knows, but I would like to highlight and read 1 Samuel 17. Then David said to Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. 47th verse of 1 Samuel 17. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, but the battle is the Lord's, and he give you into our hands. This conversation, and before he was conversing with Saul, King Saul, how confident he is, because he knows the power of God. King David, Shepherd David, he knows how powerful he is. That's why he's challenging Goliath, who is very, maybe 9 feet or so. He's challenging him and saying, you come with all the spear, and somebody is carrying your the protection one. But still, right, I'm coming in the name of the Lord. So how he's saying here, and then 37, moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistines. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. So here, when he wore all the things, armor, right, he could not bear that, because he knows only how to fight with a sling. So, and then we know the rest of the story, how he fought and how he killed Goliath. There in the next verses, David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead and fell on his face on the earth. David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. You know what happened? After this, so many people, they tried a sling and a stone, and they tried to kill the enemy. They could not. They could not kill the enemies. You know why? The difference? He is the man behind the God's own heart. He is having faith in him. Though he did not see him, the faith what David, Shepherd David or King David having is completely different from others. That's why they could not succeed. So when we do all the things in faith, everything is possible. Therefore, David ran and stood over the Philistines, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, and they fled. Everyone, because their leader is dead, got killed by David. So now nobody was there. Till the last, Israelites said they were feared. They were really feared to death. Nobody was there to give them the victory, or nobody there to defeat Goliath, the Philistines here. But after this incident, when the leader was got killed, everyone, they fled from that place, from the battlefield. So when we target the major enemy, that's what our Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. He defeated the major one, that is death. Death, it was scaring many people, but he defeated the death, and he was victorious on the grave. So when we have that victory over the major thing, right, rest of the things are secondary. Easily we can conquer. And then the David sling, whatever the concept David he had, right, for the other people it may not be successful, but I was reading one of the articles how the David sling and the concept, how Israel Defense Force, how they using, and then how they were successful. Just I put a picture here, the right one, this is the Rafael advanced missile, that is Israel's advanced research group. They discovered along with Raytheon. I know here some of the engineers are here. I really don't know whether to tell it or not. Raytheon also partnered with Raphael, and then they developed this David sling. What have they have the multi-layered defense system. First it comes to David sling. Almost it intercepts whatever the missiles, long range missile it comes. It could not David sling. Then it comes to the next session. That we call now, we have the laser beam and all they recently developed. And then they have the Iron Dome. It's just a mid-range or short range. If it cannot, then they have another layer. That is a very close layer. That is Arrow, they call. These are all right, the God given them the knowledge in the developer. But mainly, especially, the David sling has conceptualized from the whatever our shepherd David, that time, he used the same concept. How he is conquered, right? It has the high interception rate, David sling. Just want to show that one, how God has blessed Israel and how God used David, right, through his face. And then the second example, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Though their Hebrew names are different, but I just want to mention all these three Hebrew persons here. Shadrach, Meshach, from the Daniel 3:16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to them, King, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. That is the cause our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O King. But if not, let it be known to you, O King, that we do not serve your gods, nor we will worship the gold image which you have set up. This is the story. Once again, we are all know about this one. And Nebuchadnezzar, he stood up the gold image and asked all the people to go and prostrate and worship that gold image. They refused it because they know the power of God. That's why they're saying, though if God is not coming and rescuing us, we are not going to bow to it. We are not going to worship it. So that's that kind of faith. They did not see anything. But the faith in God, right? They rescued him. But I really like this 18th verse. Let it be known to you, O King, we do not serve your gods, nor we will worship the gold image which you have set up. That's the kind of faith that really, really gives us the confidence. And then the third, final example, great example from centurion's faith, right? When Jesus, from the Matthew 7, 8, and also it is mentioned in Luke 7. When Jesus heard, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such a great faith, not even in Israel. They say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will cast out into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. He's saying, the centurion with our Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not worthy you to come to our home and heal my servant. Just one word, because he knows the power of the authority, being a centurion over 100 soldiers. Just one word enough. That kind of faith, right? Automatically, same hour, it healed his servant. And that's what he's highlighting. I did not see. Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such a great faith, not even in Israel. This is one of the examples. Though he is not seeing whether he really healed or not, but he believed in his heart, the same hour he got healed. So our walk, our Christian walk, how it should be, means not by seeing, but not by having the faith in God. Here we can see some of the summary points. Faith, it gives courage. Because we saw Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, how bold they are. They're ready to go into the fiery furnace. Also, we saw Shepherd David. Everyone is scared. But he is going with the sling and with the five stones and then defeating. With the courage, because he believed in his heart that God is going to be with him. So, and then actions for every faith, right, that needs demonstration. When you see, I really sometimes cry when you just visualize Abraham, 100 plus years aged dad, taking his son and going and giving the sacrifice when God asked him without discussing wife. I clearly read in the Bible, he did not discuss his family. 3 days he struggled, he carried the pain, the suffering, and when he was climbing up onto the Mount Moriah, he looked at him. And then probably, I don't know how many times he cried. But the faith what Abraham is having is, though he is dead, God has the power to bring him. That's as per the Hebrews 11:14. He has the power to bring him back to life. That kind of faith he is having, and he is ready to do that. I just questioned myself, if God asked my daughter what I would do. I think I definitely discussed with my wife 100 times, right? I recheck whether I can go it or not. So, but when we have in the faith, Christian life, that must have faith in God that he can do anything. And then the third point, faith involves hope in eternal promises. God has promised us with many spiritual blessings. We did not see them. We are not experiencing them. But our belief is we are going to enjoy all those spiritual benefits, and we are going to walk on the roads of the gold. We are going to have the crowns, right? Crown of righteousness. All this God has blessed us. That and all that is based upon the faith. Now here in the earth, right, we are securing our gold and paying so much dollars and rupees, right? Getting the gold and all, but we are going to walk on the roads of the gold there in the future when we die or when we get raptured. And then faith helps to align with God's will. One very, very important, Romans 12:1. Faith, it says, in Romans 12:10, I beseech you, brethren, submit your bodies as living objects here. To God. I was thinking to whom it has to be presented as living sacrifice. Jesus, he is having the body. He is sitting in the right hand of God. And Father, he is on the throne and he is having the body. To whom we have to present our bodies in Romans 12. Paul is urging. To whom we have to present means we have the Holy Spirit God. We have that honor to present our bodies to Holy Spirit God. When he is there and when we submit our head, our lips, our mouth, our lips, our legs, our feet, right? Everything will get changed. Dr. Walter Wilson, one of the modern, he is the, one of the Christian missionaries. He was telling that he was listening to one of the messages by Dr. James Gray. He is the medical doctor in Kansas City. After listening to the sermon, same message, whatever he told, right? To whom he has to present. He went back and then praying, Lord, you have given me everything. Please send me to some country where gospel has not listened, where people are not knowing about Lord Jesus Christ. He prayed, if you are not sending me, at least, Lord, give me the cancer so that I will be on the bed and die. That kind of very strong prayers, right? He used, and then God used him mightily. And one of the very famous in Kansas City, Dr. Walton Wilson, he's a medical doctor. And then George Muller, who lived all his life taking care of the orphans, everything, right? He will not give his reports, financial report, to anybody directly. He communicates with the God. How that kind of faith, fighting the battles on the knees for the money, right? He never presented that I want this much and all. That, I was reading, this is from the chief man among the brethren. If anybody wants a copy, I can send you the PDF. So I was reading that in that book, Chief Man Among the Brethren, how faithful he is, how he fought all the battles on the knees, right? It's really very inspiring. Just want to highlight that one. Finally, we have so many 33 plus faith warriors in Hebrew 11, but the author of Hebrews, he is asking, look on to Jesus, who is author and finisher of our faith, because he has shown how he lived the life, how he continuously listened to the Father, and how he did the will of Father. So by having faith, right, if we fix our eyes, as brother mentioned this morning also, fix our eyes on Jesus and then run the race, definitely we will be in a good position. And God helps to have that faith and helps us to win that race. In his name we glory. Have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord. Thine is the greatness, Father. Thine is the power, glory, majesty, victory, Lord. Everything on earth and then